I realized I was listening. I talked about the fact that the project is funded. Well, one of the ways we use the funds is all of our clinical groups, the students who are doing projects, after they get the project approved by their clinical faculty member, are able to apply for money to support their projects. So for the jump rope club, we provide jump ropes. You know, for the Zumba dancing, we did these really cool water bottles that has the name of the school. It's, so we have money to do the things that sometimes it's hard to do when you're teaching. And that money provides the money for food that we give the students when they come. And we spend it in a variety of different ways. But it's really been very fun to have money, is all I can say, to be able to do some of these things. And I think for the students, they're not having to nickel and dime it because, you know, if you're teaching, you know there are the days where they're like, I only have a dollar for lunch, so they don't have money to spend. I'm going to talk to you about one of the pediatric learning experiences that we designed for our work in the schools. I want to let you know in advance that if after listening to this you want to get a copy of this project, my email's on here. Send me an email. We're more than happy to share it with you. We've talked, Carla talked in the beginning about we're evaluating all dimensions of our work, but we're really focused on pediatrics, and I'll tell you why. Some of our dear colleagues who are they've been at the university or at the college for a long time and teaching peds, I'm a peds person. You know, I'm excited. I come in and say, this is going to be wonderful. We're going to be able to design learning in the schools. And my traditional peds faculty are like, yeah, I don't think that's a very good idea. You know, so we're really focused because we want to make sure that our students are learning what they need to learn about kids. And we've come a long way in actually a fairly short time. So let me tell you about this project. The impetus for thinking about how do our students not in addition to doing aggregate focus on groups of kids, how did they get that one-on-one focus? As we thought about children today, I can tell you I really focused on the reality of chronic health conditions for kids in the United States today. We know that approximately 20% of children in our country are living with a chronic health condition. And a whole variety of them. You know, I just have some of the more common ones up there. But in theory, in a school of 400 children, you'd have 80 children who had a chronic health condition. Now, some of them are mild and not much shows up different in school for them. And other kids, there are a fair number of adaptations that need to happen for that chronic health condition. So we knew that we had the kids there that, yes, the healthy kids, and that's important, but the children with the chronic health problems as well. And so our challenge really was, well, how do we make that work? We know this. We know it's good to have children in their natural environment. One of the challenges is this. At schools, the focus is not on health. Ask any school nurse, really. Now, I know some schools have come a long way, but they're about education. And so the minutes in the seat, as others have said, are very important. Initially, in our first semester or two, or the first time we're in a school, there's a lot of caution around what are you going to have the students doing? Because you better not be messing with my time with the kids, okay? The other thing we know is that hospitals are not optimal environments or settings for deep learning about chronic health conditions. No one's in the hospital very long anymore, by and large. I have students all the time tell me, I love kids, I'm going to love peds. And I'll say, when I was teaching in the hospital, it's good you love kids. They don't like you when you're in the hospital. I mean that, you know, so that you might like pediatrics and you might not in the traditional sense. So we really had an opportunity to try to figure out, well, how could we make this work for our students so that we get deep learning? And so our idea of the outreach project was born. And I'm going to tell you just a little bit about the learning experience as we've designed it and then what we know about it in terms of evaluation and outcomes. This learning experience is designed to have the nursing student have a one-on-one experience with a child and with that child's family, with a child who's living with a chronic health condition. And so in it, the students are challenged to get to know that child at the school first, and then prepare to conduct a thorough psychosocial, spiritual, holistic assessment and family assessment through contact with the child at the school, but also through a well-planned visit to the child's home. In this experience, they also are able to conduct a medication reconciliation. So they take a list of the meds, if the child's on meds at school, into the home. And part of their assessment at home is to talk to the family about what medications the child's taking at home and bring that back to the school so that the school nurse has an updated list. They do the visit, and then at the end of that, they take all of their assessment data and they develop two kinds of plans for care. A plan to be used in the school, and then one that is for use at home. That plan of care for home is embedded in a letter that they write to the parents, and then the plan of care at school they review with the school nurse for inclusion into the child's record. I've learned many things. We're finishing the semester, as those of you who are teaching are. I found out that my undergraduate students, who are very bright, by the way, a number of them told me they hadn't written a letter since they were in sixth grade, so I had to help them remember how to write a letter. And I'm serious. You know, I mean, they hadn't done it in a while. How did we find the kids? Well, this called for close work with the school nurse. The school nurse is the linchpin. And I'll tell you again, at first there was a lot of caution. What do you want us to do? What do you want your students to do? And we had to talk through the issues around access to information, because of course at school they're concerned about HIPAA, like those of us in hospital settings are, but also the FERPA requirements as well. So we really asked the school nurse to help us choose likely children and families for a home visit. And the earlier the better, because the semester flies by. So it has to be a family that's willing to have a student come to the home. And a family usually that's not in so much crisis that our undergraduate nursing students are going to be overwhelmed in the home. We steer away from rare conditions, and we keep saying to our school nurse colleagues, we want common. We want common chronic health conditions. And we are staying away from mental health diagnoses as a primary diagnosis because our nursing students are in their mental health theory and clinical experience this very same semester. So we want to broaden their experience, okay? And early identification is essential. How do our students have contact with the child? Well, in the elementary schools, they're often in a classroom. And they're in a classroom where their child they're going to do the outreach project for is in that classroom as well. It's a little harder in the high school, but what we've learned, and I have a group in the high school and Carla's got a group in the other two high schools, is that we're able to write a teen out of class for introduction purposes and to establish a means of communication between our student and the teenager. And of course, the teenager is assenting to have our nursing student learn from them. And this makes our students nervous, as you wouldn't be surprised, right? Because most of our students are, not all, but many are traditional age students, and they're very close. They're just 3 years out from high school themselves. And honestly, I don't care how old you are, when you step back into high school, it brings it all back, you know? I mean, everything that was there, and I think it operates at an unconscious level. So we'll see some nervousness about, you know, how am I supposed to talk to this kid, and they're going to think I'm a nerd, and I'm right there to say, so what do you care if they think you're a nerd? You're a nurse. Okay, so, you know, I think that I've learned that we have to do more work in prepping our students to actually interact with the teenager. Some of them are fine with it, and others really need to do some role play and have a list of questions to get it going. You know, I refer to this at, because I taught in hospitals for so many years, at the desk behavior that we see with nursing students. When they're all out at the desk, it's really because they're nervous and they don't know how to go into the room. Well, the same thing was true. I talked to my students, so did you write your teenager out? You know, did you write them out so you could talk to them? Oh, no, I think I'll do that next week. Okay. Here's what makes it work. What we have found is lots of preparation, obviously, before they go out for the home visit. And we practice everything. Making the phone call, because they have to actually call the parent and establish a time, a date and a time for the visit. We have them practice that in advance. We have them practice the interview. We give them guides in our project for an assessment, and then we say, you got to make it your own. So you have to really get comfortable with it and not be doing this, you know, while you're talking to the family. We set this up so that each of our students is going out for the home visit with a peer, another student, and vice versa. So they cover each other. We're doing that for two reasons, for safety reasons. And secondly, if I'm the peer, I'm going to take notes where you're actually conducting the interview with the family. And then we, as clinical faculty, we know when our students are out so that we're available by phone as well. So what have we learned so far? Well, start early because the semester goes by quickly. If for some reason the child or the family that was picked, it's not going to work out, we need enough time to get another child and family for our student. I've talked about the simulation already. We ask parents to sign a permission slip. We've revised our process so that we'll take verbal permission. At first, we wanted it back in writing. We'll take verbal permission, and then our student takes a form out to the home and brings it back signed. The other thing is that we've certainly learned, I don't know why this was surprising for me, but our undergraduate nursing students, they really don't have history-taking skills. And so we really help them learn about history-taking. And then in the case, Yvette was a graduate assistant with me this semester, we actually had our students present so that they get more comfortable with being succinct and to the point about what they've learned. And in terms of evaluation, we're doing these three things. We're grading the assignment, which I'm not going to talk much about, but we'll share it with you if you want. The focus group feedback data, which Carla talked about, and I'll share just a bit about that, and then parent feedback as well. We designed a 7-item feedback form for parents. It's got 5 items. We use a 5-point scale. And we're asking questions about how comfortable were you? Was the student respectful? Were they professional? And we ask them about, you know, did you learn? What, if anything, did you learn from the student? And how likely are you, if at all, to make changes as a result of the visit? Now, our primary goal isn't for our students to go out and do a lot of teaching. Our primary goal is for our students to learn from families who have had a child. You know how the families with kids with chronic health problems become so expert, usually, that they have lots to teach. You know, the students would say to me initially, well, why would they tell me about that? And I said, well, I've worked with kids with chronic health problems for years, and the parents I find, I'm almost never had a parent refuse to talk about it. And what they tell me is by the time their kids are older, nobody wants to hear it anymore. So they're more than happy to have an opportunity, many are anyway, to help shape future healthcare professionals. Then we asked a couple of open-ended questions as well, the two that are listed here. And here's our beginning results. We've changed some of our process so that we hopefully will get this semester more of these feedback forms back. And I'm not going to go into that too much. I mentioned that our students mail a letter to the home after the visit, and we have the feedback form included now with a stamped return envelope in it. Our data to date are very positive. On that 5-point scale, with 5 being more positive, you can see that the families are very comfortable with our students coming out to the home, and our students are respectful and professional. Families were in the middle in terms of their rating on how much did they learn. They're right at a 3. I actually thought it might be lower, but sometimes talking out loud helps with learning, and actually sometimes our students do have experiences. And they're right at about a 3 in terms of likely to make a change in what they're doing at home. And then a little bit from our students. When they give feedback in these focus group sessions, this is often one of the most powerful, important learning experiences that they've had during the semester. And I just have a few quotes from the interviews. A student said, you know, it was awkward at first because I never imagined the home would be like that. They haven't been in anybody's home. I called this reinventing the home visit because unlike my education, most of our students are not getting out in many schools, out into the home setting. Common to hear our students saying, I have new respect for parents in terms of what they really have to do. It was an eye-opener. Our families who are poor, you know, that family has so little, and yet we have them really look for strengths, and yet what a strong family in terms of what's going on. You know, and the students feeling uncomfortable with, I can't give them anything. Even before they graduate, they're like, I'm supposed to be doing something. The parents taught me so much. They knew so much. I didn't feel like I could offer anything. And then even when it was a tough visit, because we've had a few tough visits, I remember one student standing up and saying, oh man, it was like a mess when I got out there. And she goes, don't get me wrong, it was great learning. I learned so much in terms of what it was like. She was doing a visit to a teen, with a teen who actually had been in and out of a homeless shelter and was pregnant and gonna have a child. Now, how that teenager got in the list of the not so complex, but the student really handled it and learned quite well from that experience. So by and large, we're finding that this experience, it has been life-changing for our students. And I failed to mention this. We call it the outreach project because initially we were calling it the home visit. And we got a heads up quickly from a school nurses who said, the home visits, that's like a visit from DCSF for some of our, DSFS for some of our families. So don't call it that, name it something else. So we call it the home visit. We call it the outreach project. Thank you for correcting me.